Well, good morning, Crestview Church. As you can see, I'm not actually physically present with you, but this weekend I'm up in Buffalo Creek with probably over half of the church while you are here worshiping. And I thought, what can I do? And I found out a way to be two places at once. So here I am, just bringing you some words today. And what's on my heart and mind is to continue in this little three-week mini-series, focusing on the person of Jesus Christ and the core of the gospel. Something that we all need to understand, those of us as followers of Christ, be able to understand and communicate. So I want to begin with just this, an observation of Scripture. When you open up the Bible and you start from the beginning and you read the early chapters, what do you see right away? Well, the first thing you see is that it's all about God. In fact, everything around that you can see, from the mountains to this rock, to the ground I'm standing on, to the sky above, to this, is all about God's doing. So, okay, if you want to then find out what's the end of the story is like, so you jump from the beginning, it's about God, you go to the end in Revelation, and you see that in the end, it is also all about God, being all in all and everything in everything, for His purposes, for His kingdom, for His will. From creation all the way through, I'll talk about in a moment, redemption, to the very end when God just makes everything new. So, what happens in between? Well, you have the writings, you have the Psalms, you have the prophets, you have the law, and leading through the Old Testament, what is that all about? Well, the more you read, the more you find out that it's all about God, His goodness, His will, His promises, His covenants, His love. It's all there for anyone to be able to see. And then as you enter into the Gospels, you see that the center of everything, even all that was written up to that point in the story, is pointedly pointing to the person of Jesus. It's like He's the center of history as well as the center of the Bible and what it teaches. So you continue to read on after that and into Acts and then Romans and all the other letters of the disciples and apostles and followers of Jesus, and you find that everything is not only about God, it's about the person of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in the world and in people's lives. The sooner that one realizes that at the core of the story, that life is all about God and His will be done and His kingdom come in the world and in each of our lives, the better off we will be. In fact, I'll make a bigger claim. For in God, with God, living life for God, there is joy and there is peace. There is purpose. There is meaning. There is all of these things when we come into a right relationship with God, where our life is lived in God, for God. And it just involves believing and receiving and living in the love of God with everything that we are each and every day. The sooner we come to understand this from the beginning to the end of God's story, of which we are a part of right now in our lives, the better off we will be early on in God's story. And it comes right away after God's good creation of all things, is that we, as human beings, not only created, but are born with a problem, a sinful nature. We are prone to and then act on in ways of sin, ways that are contrary to God's will and God's plan for our lives. Now this, too, you don't need the Bible to see that, because when you look all around the world, you can see that so many things are broken. They just are not as they should be, whether it's relationships or it's different structures in our society that are not functioning in goodness or maybe in line with God's will for our lives. From, governments to human beings to families and relationships, all of it is tainted by the brokenness of sin. And this kind of thing cannot be reversed or solved or fixed or actually made better by what we ourselves can do. And this is significant to know because it's a big part of God's story. So thanks be to God that from the opening chapters already in Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the end of Scripture in Revelation, the closing chapters, it's all about God's unfolding plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. So what God's answer is he sends Jesus, who is God's Son. He takes on human nature, becomes a human being. He lives a perfect life. He was tempted in every way, like we are, yet he remained faithful to God's will and God's kingdom and God's purposes for him, so much so all the way to dying on a wrongful death, wrongly accused, bearing the weight of our sins on a cruel cross, bearing the penalty of the sins of humanity for all time. What this does is unbelievably transforms our situation in life where if we choose, if we believe, if we receive what Jesus has done with this finished work on the cross, then something changes in us where we are in a position where we are now able to actually step into living out God's will and God's kingdom in our lives. So the separation from God for our sin, the parts of our life where we feel like something's missing or things are not as the way they should be, or even the penalty, right, of our disobedience with God, all of these things that are true, that come out of Scripture, that teach us our situation, irrevocable, irreversible, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus says of himself, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the vine of life. I'm the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door, the gate to salvation. I'm the bread of life. He actually becomes the first to rise from the dead so that the proof is in the resurrection that he is victorious over death and sin, its penalty of hell, all of these things. He's victorious. So all we need to do is to believe by faith and to receive that truth for ourselves. And then something wonderful and amazing begins to happen. Last week we highlighted a passage from Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20, which talked about knowing Jesus' profound identity. And when we do come to know Jesus' profound identity, it leads to us understanding our profound identity through faith, right? By grace and belief in Jesus Christ and receiving his salvation, that by faith, knowing who we are, our profound identity, and knowing Jesus. So let's remind us of Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 21st, where it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, rulers, powers, and authorities. Everything was created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the first to rise from the dead so that in all things he might have supremacy. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through his shed blood on the cross. This is a profound identity of what Scripture from the beginning to the end is pointing to, and that is to the person of Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. What should be our response to that? Simply by faith to believe it and to receive it. And again, I'll say, then something transformative begins to happen in our lives as God comes to dwell in the human heart, a redeemed, reconciled, restored heart and relationship with God, and now empowered by the Holy Spirit that lives within us to be able to lead us into all truth, into all righteousness and faithfulness, to actually live out what we were created in the beginning to be. I don't know if you want to experience this kind of freedom, or you already have in your life and you've made this step of faith and commitment and belief, but it's so simple. We simply need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, We need to confess our sin and believe that our sins are forgiven in Jesus and begin to enter into this journey and life of discipleship, of following Jesus, learning more and more every day what it means and the impact that it has on our being and our living. This believing and receiving this new life in Christ is exactly what Jesus says when he says to a man named Nicodemus, "You must be born again." We all need to be born again. And once that commitment and that belief and that faith in Jesus and receiving of his forgiveness and the Holy Spirit happens, we enter into an incredible life, such that as life unfolds, our life becomes much more about God's glory and less about ourselves. It becomes all about God's kingdom, his rule, and following his ways. And this way is filled with incredible joy as just the fruit of the Spirit unfolds. Doesn't mean that life is easy, like everything is fixed and now there's no more problems and we won't experience struggles and challenges. Far from that. In fact, Scripture says you may encounter some more in a different way of the challenges of following Christ and what that means for your life. Empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, as he's transforming our minds, as he's leading our wills to conform to his will, that even our desires and motivations of our heart become more and more in line with what God created us and made us to be, and we find our full satisfaction and meaning and purpose in life in him. And Scripture is filled with what that can look like, not only in our individual life, but also in our corporate life of community life together and what that looks like. Does this mean everything's going to go great and well? Absolutely not. In fact, Scripture teaches a lot about this. Jesus himself does, that we could experience everything from prosperity and blessing to persecution, maybe not get richer, might even get poorer. All of these things can be part of the process. Things can go better. Sometimes it can feel like it's going worse. But one thing is absolutely sure and secure, is that my life is now hidden in Christ, and that I don't belong to myself, but I belong to God, and my life is continually about reflecting God's glory, becoming like Jesus in all the ways that he was through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this leads me to the text of today. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Meaning everything in life is for the sake of Christ because of what he's done for me. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Comparatively, I consider those things like garbage compared to gaining Christ and being found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, that's certainly not it. But having a righteousness in Christ that comes by faith in him. I want to know Christ. That's the purpose of my life. It's the goal of discipleship. I want to know the power of the resurrection, this transformed life in him. I want to engage in participation in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death, or a death to myself. And I want to rise to life to somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. So this is like putting off the ways of sin and brokenness and leading a life in Christ. So what does this look like? First of all, you just need to know it's a journey. Things will not go perfectly. You don't have to know it all from the beginning. In fact, far from it. There's all kinds of grace and love and support in a community of believers, for one. And wow, just growing and understanding God's ways and his will is a lifelong endeavor. But I'll give you four things of what it does look like, and they're very simple. And these things are encouraging and beautiful. The first thing is that in everything, we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. These are words from Jesus himself to us who believe and receive his forgiveness and receive the Holy Spirit. That from our heart's desires to the thoughts of the mind to the works of our hands, the character of our person, that Our lives and all of these things reflect God's character in and through us. The second thing it can mean is that we simply begin more and more to shine like stars in the universe. This is a phrase that Paul brings out in the book of Philippians. And he says that we shine like stars in the universe, and this is a good thing, by the way, to be light, to be salt in the world. We do this when we hold out the word of life. Now, what this means is we do need to gain a better knowledge of how to speak winsomely about salvation in Jesus Christ and life in Christ and what that looks like. And yes, it includes being able to address the fact that we need God, we're separated from Him, and we need Jesus in order to be reconciled and restored to God, to find this better life, much better life in God. So, you know, our minds transforming to God's purposes, our hearts conforming to God's desires, our bodies, we offer them as a living testimony for God's glory. The light of Jesus shines through us in such a way that we think differently, we act differently, we live differently. There's something about us that stands out compared to what maybe the crowds around us pursue and do, and how they act and live and are, because we have the light of Christ in us. Third thing it can be is that we pray like children. When I think about this, I like to boil it down really simple, that in our relationship with God, we can always come to Him. He's always present. He's available to us. And we approach Him in a relationship of trust and dependence and love and surrender in the ways that we can pray to God for our every need. We can share everything about our lives with God, and He is with us, He hears, He understands, He answers, He walks with us. All of this would be to like pray like a child. Fourth thing, and I'll just leave you with this today, is that Scripture talks about bearing fruit of the Spirit. This one is beautiful as well. If you think about a tree producing fruit, so a life in Christ, we will produce fruit. You can think of it as being spiritual fruit, but actually it becomes very tangible. So living a life of love, joy from within that people can see. You have a peace, meaning in any circumstance, whatever may be, the good and the bad, there's peace in Christ. You exude goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness to God's ways and to His kingdom coming. You also exercise self-control. And there may be another one in there, maybe I missed, but we produce fruit in keeping with our repentance, in keeping with our confession, in keeping with the new life in Christ in us. Now you may ask, why did I share all this? What's going on here? And it's like, well, at least once a year, in the flow of messages that come out from Crestview, and for me, is it really needs to have a firm understanding of the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, this is God's revelation of salvation, His history of redemption that He's revealed to us, and we are sitting right in the middle of it. And, wow, if you ever wondered if there's a better life out there for you, there is. There's a life in Jesus Christ. So, with that, have a great rest of your Sunday today. I know we're having a worship Sunday right at probably about the same time we're having a worship service out at Buffalo Creek. And many of us will be making our way home later today. So the Lord bless your day. The Lord go before you. The Lord bless you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Turn His face towards you. Give you peace. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.